What's going on, everybody? Daryl Frater, the club CEO here, and we have another amazing episode of the My DJ Story podcast. Today we have DJ Hay tuning in and telling you about her story as a DJ. Could you please introduce yourself, tell the people who you are and where you're from?
Absolutely. My actual name is Heather, but I go by DJ Hay professionally, and I am from San Diego, California.
Awesome. Awesome. We're so happy to have you on the podcast. This podcast is really about DJs telling their stories. And I believe that all DJs have amazing stories to share to the world. And this is the platform where they get a chance to tell it. Talk to us a little bit about, you know, your beginnings and why did you get started as a DJ? At what age and how did you get interested in the craft?
Absolutely. So it was all starting in 2014. I was in my late 20s. I can't remember exactly the exact age, but yeah, it was around there. But I was pretty much inspired by Dutch DJ and producer Ferry Corsten, who I had the great pleasure of meeting at the Intervention Pool Party in 2013 when he came here to perform for it. And I was instantly hooked during his set. And I was like, you know what? This is what I want to do. I want to perform at the big name clubs and events like him. And I especially want to play the same type of music he plays as a DJ and produces as a producer. And the thing that really sets apart me from others is that I am totally blind and I DJ all by ear. I wear two sets of headphones. One is connected to my laptop using a screen reader program that tells me information about the tracks. And by using muscle memory of my gear and knowledge of the music, I'm able to transition and mix seamlessly live. And wow. So, yeah, I've been DJing for 6.5 years. So this coming June is going to officially be 7 years since I've been doing my career.
Wow, that is truly amazing. I've never heard a story of a DJ that was doing it and was blind. That is actually amazing. And it's super inspiring because it's not easy, I would imagine, to DJ as someone that's blind. And with that, you were able to just, you know, persevere through any difficulties and still make your dream happen. You saw something you like, and you said, you know what, I'm going to do it. And I'm super happy to hear that. Tell us a little bit about, you know, how did you, you know, go from that spark where you want to go do it and then learning, you know, in the beginning about how to DJ, especially given the disability?
Of course. So a year after I met Ferry, I was actually very lucky enough to meet DJ Taylor Michael, who became my DJ trainer. And from there, he showed me everything about DJing. So the day that I met him, I was like, okay, this is what I want to do. And he actually worked for Guitar Center part-time where he helped me purchase my equipment. And so when my mom actually met him, she goes, hey, would you be interested in giving her one-on-one DJ training to show her how to use it and help her pursue a career? And he said, absolutely. So it went from there. And yeah, he just showed me not only how to use it, but also gave me great tips along the way that would help me pursue my career. And I started small by performing at local clubs. And then a couple years later, I did my first big show, which was at the Belly up in Solana Beach. And after that, I did my first show at Exchange LA in Los Angeles. And what was so cool about that was I had the chance to perform on the same night as Alpha 9 and Ferry Corsten during the Unity event.
Wow. Now that's truly amazing. Like, and to see how fast you're moving and progression within your career, it's so amazing to hear how you can get started and just hit the ground running, especially when you have the proper training and the proper mentorship. You know, how did you kind of go about, you know, that relationship where you were able to find a mentor and build that and then kind of get your first gig? How did that happen in regards to getting that first gig?
Well, like I said, I met my DJ trainer when he used to work for Guitar Center. And then I was like, okay, if I want to start showing what I can do, I need to begin by doing mixes, which is what I've been doing. And I'll get to the name of my mix in a moment. But yeah, then Ferry actually has been in contact with me and he's been supporting me since I met him, which I find just super, I feel super lucky to have, because not everybody gets to have their favorite celebrity do that for them.
Yeah.
But yeah, so basically, like I said, Taylor taught me everything from like what gigs would be appropriate for me, which ones I'm ready for. So that's why he first recommended starting out small, which obviously you need to do with anything in life. And I started by performing at the Air Conditioned Lounge, which is a local club here in San Diego. And then, like I said, a couple years later was when I did my first big show at the Belly Up.
That's amazing. That's
and then great. After that was when I performed at Exchange LA.
Nice. And like, what are some things that you particularly love about just being a DJ? You know, you've had some amazing experiences in a short amount of time. What are some things that just kind of make you excited every single day in your DJ career?
Well, for me, it's about following that passion for the music I love, because a lot of times I've noticed that a lot of DJs are more about wanting to make money and being famous. And this is not just with DJs, but this is just with celebrities in general, is that a lot of them, you know, are more about that. But for me, it's not, you know, it's more about following that passion and also being in the community of people who have been loving and supporting me for who I am. Because the thing that I've noticed about the trans community ever since I've been a part of it is that we're all about being there for each other as a family, regardless of whether if you love trans music for pleasure or if you work with it professionally, which I do both. But yeah, the thing I've noticed about other EDM communities is that they're the opposite, where they're more about, like what I mentioned a few moments ago, the money and competition and all that stuff. And of course I want to be famous and make money. Of course, that would be awesome, but that's not the only reason why I want to do this and why I became a DJ.
Yeah, that's super interesting. Like, I think that by collaborating and having a community that people are helping each other get up, everyone benefits in that way. But if you're competing and trying to, you know, put other people down or make yourself go higher, it actually hurts everyone in the same process. So I love that you have the spirit of community and helping others. That is something that is going to make you very successful and also the people around you very successful as well. So I'm super excited that we got connected, and I'm super excited to be able to help you in any way that I can with what we're doing with the club.
Thank you so much.
No problem. What are some things that, you know, you're a very unique DJ. How do you leverage that and put that into your brand, or do you put that into your branding at all? Or what are some things that you do to brand yourself and set yourself apart from other DJs?
I do, actually, because I remember last year when I went to the Time nightclub where Ferry Corsten was performing. At one point during our conversation, I asked him, what can I do to help bring my mix to a wider audience? And he goes, he's like, nobody knows that you're blind. And everybody has always been amazed by, you know, for those that have seen you perform in the past, they've been like, oh my gosh, this is so cool. But yeah, he said, you need to somehow put an audible version of letting people know you're blind, because he said, that's what's going to really make you stand out from other DJs, is by hearing that people are going to be like, whoa, this girl's blind and she puts on a trance mix like this. So I immediately started doing that. And that's also why I came up with the title Trance by Touch for my mix, because I play trance music and I DJ by touch. Even though all DJs touch their equipment, for me, it's different since I obviously can't see with my eyes, but I can see with my hands. So yeah. And I'm also not only doing my mix once a month, but it's also airing on three different stations. It's airing on Lifted Trance Music Radio in Germany, Maximix Electra in Israel, and Beats to Dance Radio in the Netherlands. And I'm also a resident DJ for this radio show called Trance Invasion, which is hosted by Craig Gordon in Scotland. So I'm DJing twice a month now.
Wow, that's amazing. And being a blind DJ, is there anything in particular that you do on set that kind of stands out within your brand? I interviewed a DJ that actually was a helmet DJ, where he would like wear some type of mask or helmet during his sets. And I was wondering, do you do anything in particular in terms of your look or in terms of any accessories that you bring on to the set when you DJ these events?
Yeah, well, like I mentioned earlier, I wear two sets of headphones. So I wear my normal DJ headphones, which are connected to my DJ equipment. And then I wear a set of earphones, and I have one one headphone on each ear. So in other words, I have one DJ headphone on one ear and then one earbud in the other ear on my in my laptop, where I'm hearing my screen reader tell me information about the tracks in my DJ software. So like the BPM and title and artist, so that I know what's happening and that I know all that information. So, cause a lot of DJs use USB sticks, which I think is great, but because there would be no verbal feedback for me as far as like, say if there's any error messages that come up on the equipment that I don't know about, cause I can't see it. That's why my laptop is an important tool for me to use while I'm DJing with my equipment.
Okay. Okay. Gotcha. That's super interesting. And how did you go about getting your name? I feel like most DJs or all DJs have an interesting way of acquiring their name. So your name's DJ Hay. How did that come about?
It was thanks to my dad. Cause I remember one day I said to my family, I can't come up with a good DJ name for me. Cause when I was really little, my sister called me, Hey, Hey. And yeah, I just was like, I can't come up with a good DJ name for me. And then my dad goes, how about DJ Hey? And I'm like, all right. So I've been DJ Hey ever since.
I love it. I love it. So genuine, so amazing. Let's talk about kind of how the most recent years, you know, we're in a national or international pandemic.
And, yes.
And how that affected your DJ career? Has things been completely different, not so much different, or how has it affected you?
Well, you know, yes, I really, really have missed that physical interaction of performing and walking into the club and chatting with people and also like having a couple drinks after my set. But thank goodness for all the technology that we have nowadays and platforms that allows us to still stay connected with everyone we love. So yeah, through this time, I'm like, you know what, even though, yeah, this is a tough time that everybody's going through, at least I can still do what I love by doing my mix online. So, and thanks to that, my fan base has grown pretty quickly. So, but of course I'm not doing it just for the numbers. I'm doing it for the interaction and engagement, even though, yes, it is important to get as many people engaging with you as possible.
That's amazing. And what are some tips that you have for DJs that are like struggling right now to transition their career online and leveraging, you know, some of the opportunities that have risen given this pandemic?
I would say just keep doing what you love. Don't let anybody bring you down or try to tell you, oh, you can't do this, or oh, you can't play this type of music, or like, don't let them make you change who you are. I mean, yes, it is important to move forward sometimes, but if you're in a place where you've been successful and if that community of people continues to support you, then just stay with it, you know, like stick with what you're known for.
Definitely. Great advice. Do you have any predictions about where the industry is going in regards to, you know, right now, a lot of things are virtual. Do you think that, you know, virtual is going to stay? Do you think that, you know, once we're back in the clubs, you know, people are not going to be doing it less? Or what's your predictions on the future of the DJ industry?
Well, I definitely think that once everybody gets vaccinated and all that, that yes, we will eventually get back to doing what we used to do in the clubs. But I do like the idea of, I like the idea of people doing it virtually, because think about it, not everybody likes to go to clubs. And if they love music, then that's okay. They don't have to always go out to enjoy music. They could enjoy just being at home or hanging out with a friend or something, like at their house.
Yeah, no, totally. I completely agree.
Because now that this has come up, you know, why not do it both ways? You know what I mean? Especially if you have friends around the world like I do, how I've met so many wonderful trans folks around the world and they're not where I'm from, so yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, I completely agree. That's one of the reasons why I built the club app, where we're a live streaming app that really wants to be the home for DJ live streams and virtual parties. So I hope to be able to have you on the platform and be able to help people know who DJ Hay is and hear your amazing story and hear your amazing sets.
Absolutely. Yeah, you bet. Of course.
Awesome. Do you have anything to share before we jump into our lightning round? Any last words?
Well, I did want to get out there that my goal is to, as a DJ, is to help break the stigmas towards people like myself. And this is exactly what it says at the end of my bio, my press kit, is that it's important for me to show that anyone can do anything they set their mind to, despite their limitations and who they are. And so that's also one of the reasons why I wanted to be on this podcast, is to prove to people that, hey, you don't have to see to enjoy life or to do what you love.
That's so powerful, an amazing story. Let's jump into our lightning round. Are you ready?
You betcha.
Describe your DJ set, hardware and software.
I use a virtual a program called DJ Pro by Algorithm. And at the moment, I've been using the Pioneer DDJ Ergo controller, but I am going to be in the process of upgrading soon. So I definitely do want to upgrade to that club style layout so that I can eventually learn how to play on two CDJs and a 900 Nexus like all the club DJs. But to describe my set, I usually play progressive and uplifting trance. I'm not a big psytrance fan, but if there's an uplifting track that has maybe elements of it in it, like a cool bass line or a beat, then as long as it has a great melody and it's one that I can totally picture myself playing, then why not play it?
Besides yourself, who's your favorite DJ?
There's so many of them on my list, but if I had to say my number one favorite, it's Ferry Corsten.
What has been your favorite party or event that you've DJed at, and why?
My favorite has been the event that I did at Exchange LA, because as I mentioned before, I performed on the same night as Alpha 9 and Ferry Corsten at the Unity event. And what was so cool about that was, from what I understand, there were people that pulled their phones out and immediately started videoing my set and posting it on their Instagram and Snapchat pages, because they obviously were doing that the moment they found out that I'm blind.
Who's the most interesting person you've met through DJing?
Ooh, that's a good one. Like, could it be anyone, like, not like a promoter or
anyone you desire?
Oh my gosh, so the most interesting person that I met was Andy Hirsch, who was the promoter for the Intervention Pool Party, because when he heard about me, he contacted a few people who said, oh my gosh, if you guys are looking for a trans DJ, you need to check this girl out. She's amazing. But also another interesting person I met was Anthony Petraeus from the trans duo Shihiro and Pitch. And we actually have something in common, which is we're both blind, but we're not letting that get in the way of our careers and doing what we love. And I also met Dustin Hussein, who is an artist that I really like. I discovered through Ferry Corsten, through his show, which was formerly known as Corsten's Countdown, but it's now known as Resonation Radio. But yeah, those are just to name a few.
What's one thing that you hate about live streaming as a DJ?
Well, to be honest with you, I personally look at live streaming more positively because it's more about me getting the music out there. But if I had to say one thing that's a bit challenging, it's obviously not knowing if anyone can see me. So, but that's why I always like let them know, like, hey, just letting you guys know I'm blind. So if you can let me know in the comments if you can see me, that'd be great. Because the same screen reader I use on my laptop when I'm DJing is also on my phone. So it'll read to me the comments and it'll also like tell me who's in the room. So yeah, but I look at, like I said, live streaming positively. That's pretty much the only challenge that I personally have come across. But other than that, I love it. I think it's great.
Shout out DJs that you know personally whose story needs to be shared on this podcast.
Of course. Well, I definitely would encourage you to have Anthony Pitch-Dreyers on the show from Shihiro and Pitch, because as I mentioned, he's also blind like I am, and I think he would also be a great candidate for sharing his story, because I know that he also has an amazing story to share. Dustin Hussein would be a great one, because as I said, I met him last year. And also, I would definitely say Ferry Corsten. It'd be really cool to have him on. I mean, he's been in the industry for over 20 years, but I definitely think that DJs like him should also be on this platform.
Awesome. And where can people find you online or even in person if you're still doing events?
Of course, you guys can find my website at linktree.com/DJ Hey Official. So that's linktr.ee/D-J-EY-O, and then the rest of the word of official is all lowercase. That's where you can find all of my socials and my merch store. And unfortunately, because of the pandemic, I'm not doing any in-person events at the moment. But when we get back to that, I would really love to do events at the AC Lounge again, especially since the last one I did was when I closed out for their trance event, Transcension. And I would love to just start performing across the United States and then eventually outside of there. So in European countries like the Netherlands and pretty much all the European countries where all the big name trans DJs get booked and everything.
Thank you so much for being on the My DJ Story podcast. Everyone, please follow and support DJ Hey. This is an amazing story that needs to be shared to anyone out there that's interested in DJing and just don't know how they're going to overcome difficulties. This is a story of perseverance, and I'm super happy that she was able to share her story of how she got into the DJ business and is thriving and doing an amazing job. So thank you for being on the show.
You're welcome. It was my pleasure.
Are you a DJ? Well, we want to hire you as one of our official The Club virtual DJs. We've been working hard to source hundreds of paid virtual gigs, and we need DJs of all kinds that are interested in getting paid to curate virtual events for our clients. Whether you're a new DJ just getting started or a veteran in the game, we have paid gig opportunities for you. Text I'm in to 609-201-1027 to get notified for paid gig opportunities from The Club. Tell a friend. We look forward to working with you. Now back to the podcast.